Would you turn with me to Galatians chapter 5? Galatians chapter 5. And while you're finding that, do you remember waking up this morning? Or has it been too long? When you woke up this morning, and when you wake up every morning, what's the first thing that you think of? Do you think, oh, I got to go to work? Do you think, oh, I get to go to work? Do you think, I hope there's coffee? Or maybe you think, man, my bed sure feels good. I hate to get out of it. Do you think about your to-do list? What's the first thing you think of when you get up in the mornings? When you awaken to the day that God has given you, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Do you realize that every decision you make, every step that you take is driven by something? Have you thought about it? Everything you do is driven by something. Maybe it's driven by hunger. Going to get in there and make some breakfast. Maybe it's driven by a sense of responsibility. Oh, I have to get up and I've got to meet the needs of my work, my family, etc. Maybe it's a desire for success and you're driven to do well. Your day is determined, and every day is determined by one of two driving forces. By either, number one, your flesh, or your spirit. One of those two drives everything you do. Let me ask you, what's the default setting for your heart? What is the default setting for the things that you do? Now, I'm going to tell you, I know this, that the natural setting for me and for every other human being is to let our flesh control. Amen? No, I said our natural default setting is to let the flesh control. Amen? You know, as soon as we confess that, as soon as we get to the point where we are actually going to say, you know what? That is my natural default setting. I'm not saying it's where you want to be, but it's where you're at and where every individual is at. When you get there, you begin to understand there needs to be a change, because you see, the flesh is loud. Amen? The flesh is demanding. Your flesh will let you know what it wants, when it wants it, and it usually wants it right now. Our flesh likes to have its own way. Hey, my flesh likes to have its own way. I'm going to tell you, I don't particularly care for some of those fast food restaurants out there, but if I'm really hungry, I'll stop anywhere. And I'm going to tell you, that's not a good thing for our body, nor is it a good thing for our spirit, that we just let things go as things go. Our flesh likes its own way, and it likes to have its own way, and it does not give up easily. And I'm going to tell you one reason our flesh does not give up easily. It's because Satan really pushes what the flesh wants. Now, it may not seem like it, but the truth is, you have control over what controls you. It may not seem that way, but it's the truth. You have control over what controls you. You aren't meant to let flesh rule your life. You're meant to walk in the Spirit of God. And you're meant to walk on a higher level where victory actually reigns in your life and where righteousness rules. You can walk in the Spirit and be guided by the Spirit of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months out of the year, every year of your life. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? Because God's Word tells us what we're supposed to do. God's Word tells us how we're supposed to walk. And the Scripture tells us we are to walk in the Spirit of God. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. Now, how many of you knew that? That your flesh fights against the Spirit. And we all do. You know, I love it when Paul said, you know, that I want to do, I just don't do. And that I don't want to do, he said, that's what I do. There's something inherently cuckoo about the physical human brain and heart. We want the physical, fleshly things. And he says here, the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Look at verse 18. Here is our carte blanche. Here's our check. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then he gives this long list of hindrances that keep us from following the flesh and things that the flesh wants us to do, or keeps us from following the Spirit and the things that the flesh wants to do. Would you pray with me? See if you can agree with this prayer. Just test it, won't you? Father, I confess that my flesh fights against what you want so often. So I pray, Lord, would you help my flesh to be controlled and my spirit in you, Lord, to be set free, to lead, to help me with every step. Father, that's my prayer. Help me to walk in your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. And if you were able to say that prayer, say amen. Would you be seated? Do you want to walk in the Spirit? I think that's the key question. I know that we would like to walk in the Spirit, but do you really want to walk in the Spirit? Here's the thing. You can do it. You really can do it. With God's help, you can. The Spirit of God, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you received Him into your heart and life, did you realize that you were sealed at that very moment with God's Holy Spirit, and He is in you right now? He is there. The Spirit of God is in you right now. Now, you may not feel like it sometimes, amen? And there may be times that you live with somebody, whether it's a spouse or a kid or a parent, and you're going, I don't think sometimes He lives in them either. We've been there. All of us have been there. You may not feel like it, but He is there. God's Spirit is in you, speaking to you, talking to you, directing you to freedom and to blessing. He wants you to be blessed. That's why God's Word says, He said, if you as physical human fathers know how to give good gifts and want to give good things to your children, how much more the Heavenly Father wants you to have them, wants you to have blessings. Today, I want to share with you in some ways that you can hear from God and follow what He wants you to do in order to be able to walk with blessing, to listen to God's Holy Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. That's how you claim victory in this life, walking in the Holy Spirit of God. I've had a number of people, even recently, just say, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, I'm going to tell you this. I want you to look at your bulletin. Pull it out and look at that outline. I can tell you this. There's no doubt it's going to take about 2 hours to preach that outline. Why are you laughing? That's not a joke. So I'm not going to try to preach it all today. How about that? I'm going to try to preach all I can to put into your heart so that you remember, and we'll come back to the rest. Is that a deal? Let's do this. If you as a Christian are feeling discouraged, if you as a Christian are feeling defeated, I want to tell you there is a better quality of life in the Holy Spirit of Christ, in the Holy Spirit of God. And it is available to you when you walk in the Spirit of God. But I'm going to tell you this, it doesn't happen overnight. Amen? It just does not happen. There are times, you know, it's just kind of like me walking up to some of y'all saying, I'm going to lose weight. And y'all go, you mean like now? I wish I could do it that way, but you know what it takes? It takes a change, doesn't it? Listen, it takes a steady, proper diet. It takes having the ability to do some things that need to be done. And in the same way, if you want to walk in the Spirit of Christ, you're going to have to change your diet. Amen? Change from devil's food to angel food. Amen? You need to be looking for what God wants you to be consuming. Consuming His Word. We're going to talk about that. It's a transformation. It's not an instant change, although your direction is instant. You change and then God begins to work on you. And though it doesn't happen overnight, you can see steps. You can think, see things begin to change. And it is a transformation from one degree of obedience to the next degree of obedience. And I'm going to share with you five steps, just a couple of them today, five steps on how you can begin to enjoy the blessings of a Spirit-filled life. Now, I'm not going to tell you, you know, come to you and say, you know, you've got to act, you know, all Spirit-filled crazy. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Spirit-filled living. I don't want you to say, well, you know, pastor's gone charismatic. Well, if I get charismatic about the Holy Spirit of God, well, you just need to get over some of that. And I wish that some of you would as well. But God's Word tells us what we need to do. And there is step number one. Are you ready? Step number one is to walk in the Spirit of God by throwing off hindrances. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Here's what it says. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. He says, throw off the hindrances, the encumbrances. So what's a hindrance? What does he mean by a hindrance? First of all, anything that is out of line with God's Word is a hindrance to you. Amen? It's called what in a very simple short word? Sin. Anything that is a hindrance to you. And sometimes we don't see certain things as sin, and yet they're a hindrance to us. What is a hindrance? Anything that is not in line with God's Word. Why does Satan work so hard to strap on the hindrances to us? Why does he work so hard to put the weights on us? Because he wants to slow you down. He doesn't want you to reach the blessings. Have you ever had one of those dreams where you're running either from something or to something? Just give me one of these little head nods. You ever had that dream? And, you know, you're... Are you with me? I could do it all the way across the stage, or I could just get a nod from you. There we go. You've had that dream where you're running and you just can't seem to escape, or you're running to something, but man, everything just gets in the way. That's what Satan wants to do to your spirit walk. He doesn't want you reaching the goal. He doesn't want you having success. He doesn't want you to feel the blessing. Why? Because he wants to keep you in sin, and he wants to keep you where you just don't celebrate life with Christ. We don't really have a handicap system in life, but they do, and I'm going to use horse racing because that's the only one I know where they've got it. But did you know that when a horse wins and wins and wins and wins, they handicap that horse? I read a story about it, and they put weight on the horse to slow them down. Do you know why? So that the other horses will have a chance to catch them. And they call it handicapping. So they put weight on it. And if the horse still runs fast, they put more weight on it. And they'll put more weight on it. Why? To slow the horse down so that the other horses can catch them. That is exactly what Satan wants to do to you when you're running the race for Christ. You're winning the race. And so he says, oh, wait a minute, carry this. and carry this burden and carry that burden and hold on to this sin so that we slow down so that we just run with all the rest of the people in the world and we don't stand out. Does that make sense to you? Satan wants you to slow down. He hinders you from winning. Now, we read from Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 18 a little bit ago. Well, if you had gone on to read 19 and following, and it's also found in Colossians chapter 3, he gives us this list of hindrances. Let me just read a few. Sexual vice, impurity, unholy thoughts, unholy desires, greed, anger, rage, abuse, harboring bad feelings and not forgiving, slander, foul hearts, adultery, fornication, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, strife, envy, murders, drunkenness, and it goes on. All these things and more, it says, and anything like them, the Scripture says, hinders your run for Christ. And the Scripture tells us, run so as to win the race. Not just to participate, but to win. And I want you to look at this again. Hebrews chapter 12 says, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the sin. And most of the versions say, throw off the sin. Anybody got a version that says throw that? Multiple versions say, throw off the sin. Now, I want you to notice, it does not say in this Scripture to gently remove those things one at a time. It doesn't say reach in there and be real kind and just set it off to the side. It says what? Throw it off. And I get the picture of a bucking horse with a cowboy on the back and he throws him off. It's never gentle. That's the way we're supposed to do it. Don't lay them off. Don't gently remove it. It says throw them off. Let me ask you this. Have you ever stood in a fire ant bed? Any testimonies out there? Come on, raise them up. If you haven't, take our testimony or go find one this afternoon. I'm going to guarantee you, these things have an incredible ability to cover your lower extremities, and they all bite at the same time once a bunch of them get on you. There's some kind of signal. They're going, wait, hold, hold, bite them now. And you should see the people who that happens to. They very calmly go sit down, and they pick off one. Listen, it's one of the few times that Baptists dance. Have you ever gotten into a swarm of bees? It's not one of those things where you're just easy on it and just say, no, not. Listen, it's, and it's everything. You go nuts to get rid of those things that are biting you, that are hurting you, and that's the way that God's Word says we're supposed to treat our sin. Get them off. And it's not that it's just one at the time to go, oh, that one seems to hurt the most. I'm going to save the rest of you for when I'm really hurting. He says, get them all off. He didn't say, take off one at the time. Because I've heard people say that. You know, I'm going to work my way out of sin. I'm going to get rid of this vice, and then I'm going to try to get rid of that one, and I'm going to get rid of this attitude, and once I conquer that, I'm going to move on to the next one. That's not what God's Word says. God's Word says, throw them off. Get rid of them. We don't sit around and go, I think I'm going to get rid of this with the bees and the ants. That's the way we're supposed to handle it. We don't do it slowly. Why? Because the pain and the danger that they inflict is harmful. So don't sit around wondering. Listen, if you've ever had this problem, if you've been sitting around, well, I wonder if I should really work towards getting rid of this out of my life. Don't wonder anymore. God's Word says, get rid of the sin. Get rid of it. Why? Because God did not create you to be a slave to anything. He created you to be a victor in Christ. So how can you throw off the hindrances? How do you throw them off? First and foremost, you keep your eyes on Christ. Have you ever noticed that what is in your face is what you will concentrate on? And whatever gets out of your sight, you forget about? I'm going to tell you, I committed a horrible sin the other day because I put a huge tray of bacon in the oven and forgot it. And when I smelt the burn, I went, oh! Listen, I took my eyes off of it for just a moment. And manna was ruined. It can happen with your heart and your life. When you don't keep your eyes on things, Satan will burn you. It happens. Keep your eyes on Christ. What you keep close, what you keep right in front of your face, is what you will target and it's what you will concentrate on. Hebrews chapter 12, that we read verse 1 just a few moments ago, verse 2 says this, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. He is not just the one who will save you, He is the one who will bring you out of your worldliness to be of use in the kingdom of God. Keeping your eyes on Jesus makes the world smaller. Have you noticed? The further away it is, the less you concentrate on it. So let's keep Jesus close. Amen? When things of God become bigger and bigger and bigger, you concentrate on them. Keep the Word of God in your heart and in your mind. If you have a sin habit in your life, now is the time to get rid of it. As fast as you can and with as much enthusiasm as if you were covered with ants and bees. You've got to want to follow Christ. You've got to want to follow the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to correct you and guide you. You've got to have ears to hear. And when you keep Christ right here, it makes the difference. Allow the Holy Spirit to correct you. And if you will truly try to walk, if you really want to, you will. But if you will truly try to walk in the Spirit every day, God is going to help you. You may think, I can't take that step. Yes, you can. Ask God for help. He will help you to separate yourself from the world so that you don't walk there every day. And He will not only help you to be separated from the world, He will help you to have a desire for Him. I'm going to tell you, that's where that hungering and thirsting for God's Word comes from, the Holy Spirit. And if you're in the world, serving the world, following the world, that hunger for God is going to subside. Maybe there's some things on TV that we ought not be watching. And maybe it's not all that bad, but it's a hindrance. Things that deplete our spirit. Things that we just need to say no to. I'm going to challenge you. This week, when something comes up, it doesn't matter if it's a person or a thing or an event, and you know that it's a hindrance, just say no. And if you're like me, you're probably going to have to say it out loud. No. And somebody may walk up and they won't have any idea what you're talking about. But you can just say, nope. Well, I haven't asked you anything. Nope. Ask God to help you say no. There are times that we just need to say no and say no aloud to anything that would exalt itself against God. Step number two, walk in the Spirit by sowing in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Sowing seeds that are spiritual. Planting what God would have you to plant. Watering what God would have you to water. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 says this, He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. In other words, you can say it this way, a man's harvest in life depends entirely upon what he sows. Amen? Folks, you're not going to sow weeds in your garden and get vegetables. You're not going to plant thorns and thistles and grow an apple tree. You've got to plant the things of God. You've got to plant the things of Christ. So how do we do that? You start with the Word and you stay in the Word. You keep Christ right in front of your face, watching Christ, watching God. You know, another way that you can sow in the Spirit is with your time. Give God your time. There are a lot of Christians that do not grow because they don't give God time. They don't get into God's Word. They don't read the Word. They don't apply the Word. They don't pray the Word of God. And folks, if you are going to grow in Christ, you've got to give God some time. Give godly things your time. If you don't give God your time, you know what's happening? The wrong thing gets in front of you. When you don't give God time, the world grows bigger and Christ grows smaller. Your natural worldly voices will overwhelm the voice of the Holy Spirit in life if you don't give God time. That means if you want to walk in the Spirit, you can't sow all of your time in the world. Now listen, I know this. I know you're busy, and I know you're busy because people tell me all the time, Pastor, I know you're busy. Listen, if we get too busy for the things of God, we're too busy. Amen? I said, when we get too busy for the things of God, we're too busy. To reap a harvest of blessing, dear friends, and to reap a harvest of a fulfilled life, you've got to sow in the Spirit of God. You've got to plant the spiritual seeds, and that takes time with God. Sure, we all have things to take care of in the natural world. We all do. Every person does. But they should not take up all your time. Amen? When we let things so keep us from God, Satan is winning the victory. Give your spirit the opportunity to feed on God's Word. Get into God's Word. Fellowship with God. Build yourself up in the faith by being in God's Word, by spending time with God. Now, in the past, I've preached sermons about giving and tithing and giving back to God of what He's given to you. We've talked about money and we've talked about material things. And I believe that honoring God with a tenth of what He's given us is just the beginning. It's just the start because God's Word says give hilariously. I love that word, hilariously. But what about your time? What about your time? Would you give the Lord a tithe of your time? Maybe part of that tithe would go, that tithe of time would go to Pregnancy Assistance Center North or another ministry like that. Can you think of a better way to honor God than by finding someone who's trying to decide whether or not the life inside of them should live? Than to be there to witness to them and to love them to the Lord and let them know that God loves them in spite of any mistakes that they have made and that the one that they carry is precious too. I think that honors God. Amen. I know that honors God. Maybe just an hour or two each day, a tenth, a tithe of your time. If it's 18 hours a day, that's what? I know it's not a decimal system, so it's about 2 hours. Is that 1.8 hours? I don't know how that works. Somebody figure out the digital system for me there. But just an hour or two each day. And maybe you're thinking, Pastor, I don't have an hour. God could recall all of it. Amen? God could recall every hour, every minute of your day. You know, it doesn't take a lot of time. But I think that God deserves some quality time for you every day. What a difference it makes when we give God some quality time in our life. Here's a fact. You will make time for anything if it's important enough to you. We find time for the things we want to do. The very truth is, folks, there are no shortcuts to the good life with Christ. You don't just all of a sudden inherit a great walk with Christ. You've got to build it. God says, I love Jeremiah 33:3. He says, call on me and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know about. Call on him. He's going to show you things through the Holy Spirit and give you strength and to give you power for your day that you didn't know could be there until you called on God. When you sow in God's Spirit, it will take you to a realm that you've never seen before. A realm where God is working in your life every moment of every day. A realm where God speaks to your heart. A realm where your heart is sensitive to hear God. Maybe just a few minutes ago, when Kathy was sharing about volunteering and giving time to help these families in need, these individuals in need, maybe your heart went to, I would love to do this, but it's between you and God, but you just felt, are you with me? That little tug on your heart. When you walk in the Spirit, you respond to that tug. You don't ignore it. When God pulls your heartstrings, dear friend, the greatest thing that you can do is to be obedient to it. That's what walking in the Spirit means, friend. I could get into some long discussions, and I know I'm a simple guy. I'm a simple preacher, and I put it in the terms of Oreos, okay? You know why? Everybody likes Oreos. I just put it where we can all understand it. Put the cookies on the bottom shelf, amen? So I know I'm not being a great theologian when I say it's this simple. But I know this, it's that simple. That when God tugs on your heart, when you will listen enough for God to speak to you and hear His voice, and you will respond to what God pulls you to do, that, friend, is living in the Spirit. That's what that means. Letting God so close that He overshadows everything else. Sowing your time with God so that there are spiritual blessings sprouting up all around you because you've been sowing spiritual things. Putting yourself in a position to hear from God so that He can show you His great and mighty things. Would you pray with me? Thank you, God. It's a bit overwhelming to us, Lord, that the God of this universe would want to show us great and mighty things. And yet You said You wanted to, Father. Help us, Lord, to be still, to give You time to speak to our hearts, to be still and quiet, to get into Your Word, and then again to be still and quiet, to listen for what You're saying, because You speak to us. And if we're Your sheep, Your Word says that we hear Your voice. So help us to be still and listen. And then, God, when we hear, to be obedient.